Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come and fill this place. Fill our lives, fill our hearts and our minds, so that we might live out our calling as the salt of the earth. We pray all of this in Jesus' most holy name. Amen. Amen. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? Matthew 5:13. Like many young people leaving home after high school for the first time, I never really learned to cook for myself. In university, I spent the first 2 years of my term in residence, and then when I was living off campus, my idea of cooking was popping a can of something or other and heating it in the microwave, or if I was really fancy, on the stovetop. I could make eggs and bacon for breakfast, and my one real food item that I could make was omelets. But aside from that, my repertoire was pretty lacking. When I got married, it was more of the same. I was fortunate that at the time, Bethany really liked to cook, and so I was off the hook for the cooking duties. However, that all changed when she got pregnant. She had such an aversion to food and to the smell of cooking due to her morning sickness that the cooking duties quickly fell to me. Now, I must say, I was a pretty quick study, and I was soon putting together curries, chili, and a myriad of other dishes, but there was always one ingredient on the recipe list that I would almost always avoid: salt. You see, growing up, my father had high blood pressure, and the prevailing wisdom of the time suggested that high sodium diets were to blame. So in my household growing up, we didn't use a ton of salt in our food, and so my young mind was convinced that salt is bad for you. I was fortunate that many of the dishes I made had other spices in them to mask some of the lack of salt. And this went on for many years until Bethany realized what I had been doing all along, and she set me straight on the role that salt plays in cooking. It brings out flavor. It helps flavors to blend and to accentuate others. It balances out conflicting flavors so that the different spices and tastes wouldn't clash, but rather work together to create the right taste. In baking, enough salt can be essential to make sure that the yeast and the other ingredients all do their job. In short, salt is an essential part of the cooking process. Even a little can go a long way to making your meal delicious. And yet our culture is convinced that salt is one of the great dietary enemies of our time. Funnily enough, we are probably the very first generation in all of human history to be afraid of salt in our diets. For most of history, salt has been a seriously sought-after commodity or even a luxury for many people. In some cultures, before money or coinage was created, salt was used as money. It was used and still is used to preserve food. The earliest roads that we know of were built to transport salt from the salt mines, and wars have been fought. Many a war has been fought over who controls the salt mines. In fact, salt is so important that we would all die without salt, as it plays such a vital role in our biochemistry. And so this isn't a surprise, it shouldn't be a surprise, when Jesus uses the imagery of salt when speaking to the disciples and teaching about the kingdom of God, as we heard this morning. This morning we heard a continuation of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where he said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth." It is important to note that Jesus does not say you will become the salt after years of following Jesus. No, he doesn't say you will become the salt of the earth when you are ready or when you want to be the salt of the earth, but rather you are the salt of the earth right now, just as you are. Jesus was saying that merely by virtue of being disciples, of being followers of Jesus, you are salt for the earth. That means you and I, here and now, are like salt for the earth. Those words apply to us here in this church, in this time, in this place, as much as they did for Jesus' first followers. But what does that mean on a practical level for our lives of faith and discipleship? It's all well and good to say we are like salt, but what does it mean? Well, if you think back to the importance and the role of salt in food, then perhaps we can get a sense of what Jesus is getting at. To begin with, we have the idea that salt only serves its purpose when it is mixed into the food. It doesn't do anything to have a salt shaker next to the stove while you are cooking if you do not shake the salt into and stir it in with the ingredients. The proximity, the closeness of the salt doesn't matter if it doesn't get mixed into the food that you are preparing. And so perhaps, like salt, Jesus is saying that his followers, the disciples, the church which came after them, us, that we need to be mixed into the world. We need to be involved in the world, involved with people, mixed into the cultures and the societies of the world, because that is how grace-filled flavor gets infused into the world. As we live our daily lives filled with the grace of God, filled with the blessings that we heard last week in the Beatitudes, then we are to be like salt, bringing about the godly flavors of life which could not arise without us. We are to be like salt to bring about the holy blending of people and flavors from all over the world, a truth that the diversity of the worldwide church and even the diversity of our church here at Grace speaks to. We are called to celebrate the godly gifts of people from every race and nation, to stamp out the racism, the judgment, the prejudice, which can unfortunately and unknowingly rest in our own hearts. We are called to be like salt, helping conflicting cultures, ideologies, political allegiances, and perceptions to blend and to create a just and loving society through our role as peacemakers, through our role of seeking reconciliation and forgiveness above the petty grudges and rivalries of the world. We are called to be like salt in preserving the goodness of the gospel truth, of God's love, of God's mercy, of God's forgiveness, and of God's welcome into the next generation and beyond, sharing with our friends, our neighbors, all around us, how God's love impacts us on a daily basis and what God means to us, so that others might come to know the awesome truth of God's love in their lives as well. Put all together, this is a great responsibility that we are given and that we have been entrusted with, and we should see it as a privilege to be named the salt of the earth in God's eyes, ready to be dashed and mixed in to bring about the delicious, flavorful reality that the love of God brings when we put God's love into action. But, and it's a big one, if we are to be salt, then Jesus' subsequent words also apply to us. And those words should be pretty big challenge to us and to the modern church. Following the beautiful encouragement where Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth," Jesus offers his disciples, he offers us a warning. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. Now, most of us wouldn't think twice about tossing salt that was no longer salty, that had lost its taste. After all, without its unique taste, salt doesn't really serve the same purpose anymore, and it isn't much use in our kitchens. It no longer would bring flavors together. it would no longer balance out the sweetness of a dish or other clashing flavors. It would no longer preserve food. For example, what good would salt and vinegar chips be, or salted caramel, if the salty taste was gone? I think that the church has often lost its own saltiness, particularly here in North America. We have lost the ability to go out into the world and let the good news of God that we have encountered in Jesus, that hopefully we encounter every week in Jesus, to shape our lives and our actions. We have been all too willing to buy into the lie that the world tells us over and over again, that our religious convictions are a private or a personal thing, that we should not talk about religion or faith at a dinner party or in the office or among friends. We have allowed our commitment to the world-altering faith in Jesus Christ to be restricted to a couple hours on a Sunday morning, leaving the rest of our lives to be shaped by the gospel of consumerism, the gospel of the American or Canadian dream, the gospel of escapism, or a whole host of other gospels that are waiting to draw us away from the life and the love that God intends for us and for the world. We have all too often become too comfortable with the people and the practices that we are familiar with, building invisible walls or fences around our churches or around our church social groups, in an effort to preserve our identity and to keep those who look, think, or act differently from us from coming in and upsetting the apple cart, so to speak. We have shunned the gospel call to seek reconciliation and forgiveness. And instead, the history of the church is littered with church schism, with the multiplication of denominations, with congregations imploding over the smallest of arguments, and with grudges and mistrust festering where mercy and grace should be flowing. Perhaps we have lost our saltiness. Fortunately for us, the salt of the earth is not as easily cast away as we might cast away kitchen salt that has lost its flavor. Jesus' words today should serve as a warning to us, a warning to rediscover the holy and joyous living that God invites us into. On top of that, we have been blessed with the enduring power and presence of the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us as we seek to live out our calling as the salt of the earth. Who is the salt of the earth? You are. Each and every one of you are the salt. Each one of you a grain of salt. Go and mix into the world. Go and bring the godly flavors of love and mercy into your home life. Go and mix the holy taste of forgiveness and joy with everyone you meet. Go and be the church in the world, seeking justice, dissolving division, healing broken hearts. Go and be the salt of the earth, because at your baptism, that is what you were born to be. Amen.